Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Folks, welcome back to the ever popular Doggy Pod with me, Dr. Rob Zammit, and
ever popular. What are you basing that on?
Well, I listen to it all the time.
Okay, that'll do. Well, that's popular enough. I'm Stephen Peters, Dr. Rob's podcast producer, and thanks
and
for listening.
Man, great patience putting up with me.
Yeah, tell me about it. Now, we're actually recording in Dr. Rob's clinic. Oh, there's some birds outside as well today. So you might hear the odd noise in the background or whatever, because it's a very busy clinic and there's always animals here.
Drop a scalpel here and there.
Exactly.
Pick
exactly.
It up. No, we don't do that.
No. Now, with winter not far away, yes. Certainly for all the listeners in the southern hemisphere, it's not far away for everybody else. You've got summer coming on, so just ignore the next 5-10 minutes. Can your dog get cold or flu?
Hmm.
I mean, do you see a dog sniffling? And if you can you buy them little throat lozenges and stuff like that?
Oh, get them to suck on it. That part I'm sure you can.
Good luck with that. Anyway, yeah. We're going to talk about that today.
Yeah, getting them ready for winter is a very important thing. So we will certainly discuss winter and colds and flus. And, you know, do you know that dogs, just like humans, can have heart problems, cardiac problems, even cardiac arrest sometimes. So,
a heart attack?
Yeah, heart attacks are rarer, but heart problems, not uncommon. So what are the signs? What should you be looking for? Because the earlier you see it and the earlier you can get to a vet, the better it'll be for your dog.
So your dog can have a cardiac arrest.
Mm.
Hmm. Now, our breed of the week this week is a real corker. It's a little bit different and it's the only breed in the world that starts with the letter U.
Mm.
U, do you know what it is? Only one in the world. And Dr. Rob doesn't think there's any in Australia at all. But we'll tell you about this breed shortly. Anyway, Rob's a busy man. What's been happening this week in the clinic?
Well, we had quite a few cases of gastroenteritis.
Articulate, Rob.
Yes.
Pronunciate your words properly.
Always told to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of gastroenteritis around our neighbourhood and our city at the moment. We're based in Sydney. But it occurred to me, gastroenteritis occurs as the most common reason that dogs go to a veterinarian. And what can you do
really,
about it?
The most common
reason. Most common reason. And, well, why is it the most common reason? Well, firstly, because what do dogs do when they sniff around? They put their tongues out and lick things that they shouldn't at times.
Mm.
So they pick up all sorts of bugs. That's just what they do. I'm not talking about the dogs that go out and eat poo, yuck.
Because that is a thing for dogs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, it's humans do it, but we do it. We call it probiotics. Dogs do it by just eating poo. There's lots of probiotics in poo.
Cut out the middleman.
Exactly. I mean, probiotics are just the bacteria, thousands and or millions or billions of trillions of bacteria. That's probiotics. And what's in dog poo? Not just that. There's also vitamins and enzymes, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about gastroenteritis.
Yes.
So, especially when it happens on a Sunday and you can't get to a vet, the only ones are the emergencies, and at the moment you mightn't have the funds for that. What can you do for your dog? The first thing you want to do, of course, is don't feed it. If your dog has a bit of gastroenteritis, just don't feed it.
But how do you know? What is it? What's it doing?
Okay, well, there'll be one of two signs. Vomiting is certainly the sign to begin with. Most common sign to start with is vomiting. And then it goes to diarrhea. You know, you go to pick up the droppings and you can't because it's just watery and
gross.
And all you can do is hose it into the lawn, basically, because you can't really pick them up. And your dog's, you know, sometimes hunched over. Also, if you look at their gums, if you lift the lips up and have a look at the gums, they're a bit paler. They're not that nice, rich pink colour, but they're almost on the pale side. These are the symptoms. If things are very, very bad, then you've got to get to the emergency vet. If not, the first thing I would do, if it's like a Saturday night, don't feed that night. That's the very first thing. People always hell-bent on, oh, we'll better give them some food. No, do not feed. If you can have them drinking, especially if they can hold some fluids down, great, especially electrolytes. Now, what electrolytes? Look, you can get special veterinary electrolytes, great to have on hand. Talk to your veterinarian and have those on hand in the cupboard for these moments. If you don't have any on hand, some of the human ones are fine. You can go out and buy some of the human ones from a pharmacy, or even, you know, get some of the things that you find in, you know, the athletic ones like Gatorade, and just mix it with some water. Don't give it straight, just to give them some electrolytes to drink. That's all. And don't let them guts on it. Don't let them put their head in the bowl and just clean up the whole bowl straight away because they like the flavour. Little bits at a time. Otherwise, they're going to vomit again on you.
So this is. There's been a lot of them around your clinic.
Yeah, we've seen. In fact, vets right around Sydney have been saying, "Yep, fair bit of gastroenteritis around the moment." It comes in waves. Yeah, people see it all the time in every area of the world in dogs. So the first thing is try and fast them. The second thing is some electrolytes. Third thing is when you do go to feed them, I like to feed them some boiled white rice with some cooked meat. The meat can be chicken meat that's cooked, or can be minced meat cooked. But you know, the rice, how you cook it's very important. Oh, I've got a rice steamer. No, don't use a steamer. Put some water in a pot, boil it up with some salt, because that's going to add electrolytes again. When the water's boiling, add the rice. Then once it's soft, the rice is really soft, turn it off. Don't wash the rice beforehand, and don't get rid of the rice water. Keep that rice water. All that starch will coat the bowel and help with soothing an inflamed bowel inside your dog. So that mixed with some meat is an ideal diet for a little while for a dog that has enteritis, that's got diarrhea. Sometimes just doing those things alone will save your dog a trip to the vet, so he's not traumatized.
So how long should you leave it for before you decide, I'm going to go to the vet? Like if your dog's got
continues,
those symptoms?
Oh, yeah, if it continues after 48 hours, you might need to think about it. If your dog's very bad straight away, you need to think about it. Look for other signs of dehydration. You know, just like us, if you pick their skin up and you let it go, it should just spring back. If the skin stays up, it's called tenting. If the skin's forming a tent, that's very dehydrated, off to the vet.
Okay.
And, but you don't... Just these are the first aid things that I use for my own dogs. Sometimes I will use other products like corn flour. I will add some corn flour to the food, because corn flour also binds it up, acts as a binder and slows down the gut, coats it a little bit, and adds a bit of, you know, anti-inflammatory action to what you're doing, just to get rid of some of that inflammation. If the vomiting is severe, if the diarrhea is severe with blood, get to a vet. But if you need some first aid because you can't get to a vet, these are the sort of things that you can try.
So it's possible it could sort itself out in 48 hours.
Usually does. Most of them do.
Okay.
Most of them will do that. Even some of the anti-diarrheal drugs for humans can be beneficial. Talk to your vet about which ones you should have in your first aid cupboard for your dog and the dose for your particular size of dog. The ones used in infants are very good for small dogs, but yeah, just talk to your veterinarian about any of them that might help you overcome a crisis like this.
Alrighty, for all of our listeners in the Southern Hemisphere, it's time to talk about doggy colds and flu. And is that such a thing? And how would you know that your dog's getting a cold? I mean, they don't cough like normal people, and or a flu. And what can you do if it does?
Well,
firstly, is it a thing? Can dogs get a cold or flu?
The good news for a lot of countries in the Southern Hemisphere is the influenza virus, the canine influenza virus, which can be lethal, hasn't sprung up in a lot of countries. It is in America, and I think they're finding it through Europe as well. And there's a vaccine, I believe, that has been developed for it. So for the people in the Northern Hemisphere, even though it's coming into summer now, think seriously about making sure your dog's vaccines are always up to date, including the one for influenza.
See, I don't think a lot of people would have even thought of having a dog flu shot.
Well, not here you won't. Mm. But what people will think about is another disease commonly called kennel cough. It's a syndrome of one of two things, sometimes combined. A virus called parainfluenza virus and a bug called Bordetella bronchicepta. Sounds funny, but you may have heard of Bordetella. Bordetella pertussis is whooping
cough. I've never heard of that, Rob.
You have. Whooping cough.
Right.
Have you heard of whooping cough?
I have heard
of whooping that's
cough.
Bordetella pertussis. It happens in humans, and the weird thing is it can cross-infect. Dogs can get some pertussis, and certainly humans can get bronchicepta. So you've got to be careful. If you have a dog that is coughing with this, keep it away from debilitated people that could have a compromised immune system, or young babies and young children, because they can pick it up. So be careful of that. The good news with the kennel cough syndrome, if you keep your dog warm, really, that's probably all you need to do. You can reduce the inflammation, because the upper airways are very inflamed with these diseases, really inflamed, and it's like an irritation of the trachea, the airway, the pipe there, and that irritation leads to a cough. So get the inflammation down. You can use a little bit of aspirin or paracetamol if you want to just get that down. Make sure you get the right dose for the weight of your dog and don't overuse it. That can help. If the coughing is persisting, then off to the vet, because the vet might give you some more support with either stronger anti-inflammatories and or antibiotics, very often used for the secondary bacterial infections. And you can use a dry cough syrup, not one with...
For humans?
Yeah, human one, and just a little bit of that to help soothe the actual irritation of the upper airways, just to get rid of the inflammation. The worst times, if your dog does have this cough, early mornings and going into the evenings, because it's cold. So,
I think a lot of people don't imagine their dog getting cold.
And yet they cough. I mean, when they have this disease, when they go out in the morning and breathe in the cold air, the cold air hitting the upper airway causes real irritation, and they start coughing. Like, look, I've been waking up at night sometimes. Well, people insist, no, my dog's got something stuck in its throat. That's what it sounds like. He's got something stuck in the throat, especially the medical people. I've had doctors, no, it's definitely something stuck in the throat. We've had to take x-rays to prove, no, there's nothing there. It's this kennel cough syndrome. Very common, very common. So if you vaccinate for it, they can still get it, but they don't get it as bad. So we've noticed that yeah, if you vaccinate for it, your dog can still get kennel cough, but they get over it very, very quickly.
But they can't. So they can't get just like a runny nose, or
I guess they can. You do see you tend not to think too much of it.
No.
You've got to be careful, because if you don't look after your dog with kennel cough and you leave it out in the cold and it keeps getting worse, the inflammation introduces bacteria down into the lungs and you end up with pneumonia.
Ah.
So it can get to a lethal disease if you get pneumonia, because, as you know, pneumonia just it doesn't go away very easily. It doesn't always go away at all. It can kill the patient. So keep them warm. Warmth is king when you've got kennel cough. Really does help a lot.
So pneumonia is fluid in the lungs, isn't it?
Correct. Brought on by bacteria or viruses really attacking the lungs strongly, and you know, everything's going bad in the lungs and nothing's getting better. The immune system is not containing it for the dog, and the dog needs a lot of support from the outside with antibiotics and other drugs like that. So it's important to make sure your dog stays very warm if it does get kennel cough, and that will avoid the situation escalating into something that's dangerous.
So this winter, keep your dog warm.
Yeah, and now, right now, winter's coming, and people, dogs will certainly be feeling.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The joints starting to creak.
Oh,
I know this old dog is, I can promise you, every morning. And so I've put myself on a couple of just not even non-steroidal drugs. I'm starting with just some herbal things, some glucosamine with chondroitin. Fabulous stuff.
So is that, would that be good for older dogs?
Exactly.
To do that?
Yeah.
But small doses, I'm guessing.
It's good for me. It's good for them. And the other thing is New Zealand green-lipped muscle tablets.
Yes.
So those two things combined do a lot. I've seen serious improvement on some dogs, that, especially ones that can't take some of the other heavier drugs because they end up with diarrhea and things. And yet these drugs contain them very, very well. Again, warmth is king for arthritis, but these other drugs support the system very, very well. Now's the time to start because you've got a long lead time into it, so you're going to need sort of 6 weeks at least, so get into it before winter.
Okay, we want everybody to just pause the podcast for a second, go and give your dog a bit of a cuddle and a hug, and then you can come back and listen to the rest. So, did you give your dog a hug? I hope so. Now, we all know that dogs can get a lot of things that humans can get. And, you know, humans unfortunately have things called cardiac arrests where it doesn't end well, usually. Is there such a thing in the doggy world, in that world of heart problems that dogs have?
They can. I mean, they can have a cardiac arrest, but you know, the heart just, for some reason, electrical problems in the heart goes bang and the dog can drop dead, but very uncommon. Not common.
Dogs don't
have the cholesterol build up in their arteries the way we do, which is fabulous for them.
Yeah.
I need some of their genes urgently.
Same.
Too late. So they don't have that cholesterol build up in the arteries and of the heart. And so cardiac arrest as such, that type of cardiac arrest is very uncommon in dogs. You know, you can get a bit of cartilage that's somewhere broken off and is in the bloodstream and lodges in the main artery to the heart muscle, and that could cause a cardiac arrest. So it can happen. I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but it's not as common as insidious heart failure in dogs, which usually comes from valve degeneration in old age. Young dogs, they can get a lot of the congenital problems that we see in humans as well. Dogs get the same ones. There are patent ducts that stay open sometimes in dogs. There are all sorts of ligaments that should dissolve away. You know, the persistent right aortic arch that should dissolve away in the fetus stays and causes problems. And there's lots of electrical components that can go wrong, just like they do in humans. With humans, they get firing off of the electrical nodes, and the top part of the heart, the atrium, fibrillates. It's virtually, I guess it's like you're being tickled in the heart, but it hurts a lot.
What would people notice with their dog if there's...
Mostly what they're going to see is a dog that goes into slow heart failure, valve failure. And the first thing, if you watch carefully, you'll see that little bit of decrease in exercise tolerance. The dog just puffs out very quickly.
Oh.
You know, if you're used to throwing the ball for the dog, yeah, not so much, he says. I can do it, you know, half a dozen times and that's going to do me. I used to do it 10 times, 20 times when I was young, but
That's not just old age necessarily. It could be something else.
It's often a sign of valves going in the heart. And so the valves aren't allowing the blood to flow through the whole circulatory system correctly. You might notice a tummy starting to blow up a little bit. It's not just because the dog's eaten too much and has a fat in the abdomen. It may be a little bit of fluid. You may notice a cough. Cough's probably one of the most common symptoms that we get presented with because people don't see the decrease in exercise tolerance. So the dog develops a bit of a cough. We often see heart valve problems during routine yearly examinations. People say, haven't noticed a thing wrong with him. Why? What are you telling me? Mm. No, the dog's heart's going. It's got valve problems. And they're a bit shocked because the changes are so slow and subtle over a long period of time.
How do you pick it up, though?
We pick it up through a stethoscope, just listening to the heart. And we can hear the valves making the wrong sound. Now, there are certain sounds that we learn that are normal in dogs, just like they are in people. And when the heart is going, when the valves are going, it's a whooshing sound that goes.
Uh-huh.
And you think, we're in trouble. And there are grades of these heart murmurs. It's called a heart murmur. And their grade starts from grade 1 through to grade 6. And if you pick it up early and start some therapy, it slows down the rate of degeneration. So this is why it's important to watch the signs. If you get to the stage where the tongue's a bit blue, just on a blue hue, it's usually an advanced stage of heart problems. The gums are pale, often a bit of an advanced stage. So just watch the signs. And the main one for people to watch probably is exercise tolerance. And the other thing to do, rather than to watch, go and get the person to listen that knows, your veterinarian. Take them there.
Those guys, yes.
Once a year, get your dog checked.
That's what everybody should do, shouldn't they?
Oh, absolutely. Once a year. I mean, you should be doing it with yourself and not ignoring your health. Now, once a year, maybe twice a year, go to the doctor. Certainly dogs should be going once a year to have the vet listen to the heart. And if it's bad, I have people that come every 3 months just to have that. Yeah. Is it got worse, Doc? Is it getting better? Because there's a whole host of drugs that we can use.
And catch it early, maybe.
Catch it early. We might just start with a drug to help the blood flow. Keep going, and we might give some fluid tablets, some bronchodilators, some drugs even to slow the heart down. Because when the heart starts to fail, like anything, the heart has to pump.
Work harder.
So it works harder and it works faster. And what it's supposed to do is contract, push the blood out, relax, the blood goes in the heart, contract, push the blood out. If it's pumping too fast, Stephen, it doesn't have time to fill. And that's when things are starting to really go bad. Like if it's pumping so fast that it has no filling time, we give a drug called digoxin, which digitalis, it just slows the heart down a bit and allows it to pump more efficiently. And that's essential.
So I like this idea that, you know, everybody should bring their dog in once a year, even if it's sort of looking completely happy and healthy. It's just a good thing to do. What would be the things that you would do during one of those sorts of just annual checkups?
Discuss vaccinations. Some people don't want their dog vaccinated every year. They anti-vaxxers or whatever, but yeah, that's fine. Some authorities are saying that not every dog needs vaccination every year, and that's true. The problem is you don't know when your vaccine runs out in your dog, when the antibodies aren't being done. So a lot of people will have blood taken from their dog to have that titer test to make sure that they are covered for parvo and distemper and hepatitis. And at that time, you take some blood and check the kidneys and the liver, because these are other organs that can go very easily.
So that comes from the blood test?
Yeah, we did that with Molly not that long ago, where we checked everything in her, because little Molly is very precious to us. She's our mascot.
She's very old too.
Yeah, and so we check her regularly, and she thinks, don't take me to the vet again, he keeps taking blood. But
she loves coming to Dr. Rob.
Not.
No, she does.
She does, actually.
She does.
We're just checking those sort of things. We look at their teeth, because if the teeth are bad, then that's not just gives you bad breath, it gives you bacteria. That smell is bacteria in your mouth, which goes into your bloodstream, which knocks out things like heart valves and causes a bad heart, or kidneys and causes kidney failure or other things. So keep the teeth clean. We check their ears, their eyes. Do they have cataracts? All those sort of things. Mm. We check their pulse. Is their pulse strong? That tells us how efficient the heart is. If the pulse is weak, that heart muscle's not doing its work properly. What's wrong? And we also check for the nasties. Are there any tumours?
Yeah, so you'd give it a good feel.
Exactly.
So this would take, 15, 20 minutes or so?
Yeah, that's about it, yeah.
And then hopefully you can walk out of there knowing your
dog's fine. Yeah. Good for another year. See you in 12 months.
All right, has anybody thought of what that dog of the week is, what breed it is, starting with you, the only dog breed that we know of, anyway, starting with you. Anyway, it is a Utonigan.
Of course it is.
Utonigan.
What else would it be?
I've never heard of a Utonigan, but there is a breed called a Utonigan.
Yeah.
And Dr. Rob is about to tell us a bit more.
It's not for the pedigree people that, want that defined pedigrees all over FCI and ANKC and all these other anachronisms that we use. It's not in that group yet. But okay. I tell you what, I think it could be, because it's a very beautiful looking dog.
Utonigan.
They look more wolf-like than any other dog I've ever seen.
But you said there's none in Australia.
I've not heard of any in this country. They come as a cross between an Alaskan Malamute, a Siberian Husky and German Shepherd. That's how they started. Right. But they're breeding quite true now. So they could get them registered. A pedigree dog is a dog that the parents breed a litter and they look like the parents.
Yes.
Crossbreeds tend not to do that. This cross has been going on for quite a few years now. Very friendly dogs. They're lovely natured dogs from what I've heard, and also spoken to a few people that have owned them.
Mm.
And they said, they love them because they're just such a friendly dog. So it'll be interesting to see. There's certainly enough of them in North America and a few other countries. I think there's a few in England. And
what colour coat do they have?
Wolf-like coat. Wolf sable is the ones I've seen, where they have that light-coloured tan around the face but the darker area, and a slightly fluffier coat, a bit like a Malamute type, longer coat, not short like a German Shepherd, but a bit longer than that. But they have been pretty much all of them bred for temperament, and so they're trying to breed a good, friendly dog. Big dog, they're not a small dog.
Mm.
And if you're thinking of buying one, well, if you're in a country that doesn't have any, you're going to have to import the first pair.
So would that be a problem for you if somebody somehow managed to get one and brought it into you to have a bit of a look at?
Mm-hmm.
You would. It's just a dog to you still, isn't it?
A dog is a dog is a dog. Yeah. I mean, I love dogs, full stop. End of story, they're all canines to me. I don't care if they're crossbreds or whatever. We own both. We own pedigree dogs, we own crossbred dogs.
Mm. I'd like to get one just to be walking with it down at the park and people say, what sort of dog is that?
A wolf. That's a Utonigan.
You say a Utonigan and just watch their face sort of glaze over and then walk away.
That's what one looks like. I've always wondered.
Well, now we all know there is a dog breed
starting with you.
All right, that just about wraps up another earth-shatteringly good episode of the Doggy Pod.
Absolutely the ever popular.
I like the way you say that.
And folks, just remember, if you haven't spent 10 minutes a day with your dog Yeah, and you're a cranky old bugger.
And do remember to follow us on Instagram and Facebook. And in fact, we're going to be posting very soon some training videos of Dr. Rob and Oggy.
August is doing really well. Our doggy, Oggy, pod puppy. He is doing really well.
So he's getting trained up rather well, isn't he?
I'm very happy with the way his progress already. I think we'll be in trials. Probably before 9 months of age.
Getting a little bit cocky there. Anyway, we'll post some stuff of Oggy learning the rules on Instagram, and we'll see you all next time.
Bye now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.